Hello and welcome to the Cloud Native Infrastructure Podcast. I'm your host, Sascha Siegmann, and today is Thursday, December 29, 2022, and this is episode 1 with these topics. Southwest Airlines cannot reach cloud cruising altitude, and what is cloud native and how can you learn it from the ground up? The year is 2022. It is late December, the busiest travel time of the year, and we are experiencing one of the most significant weather events in recent history in the United States. In Buffalo, New York, 39 people have died in one of the longest and fiercest blizzards ever. NPR reports that across the United States, 50 people died in other weather-related calamities. The West Coast is drenched in water that an atmospheric river dumped over it, and one single air carrier, Southwest Airlines, canceled 14,000 flights, and more are expected over the next few days. Here's Bob Jordan, CEO of Southwest, trying to explain it all away.
The tools we use to recover from disruption serve us well 99% of the time, but clearly we need to double down on our already existing plans to upgrade systems for these extreme circumstances so that we never again face what's happening right now. You know, our network is highly complex, and the operation of the airline counts on all the pieces, especially aircraft and crews, remaining in motion to where they're planned to go. With our large fleet of airplanes and flight crews out of position in dozens of locations, and after days of trying to operate as much of our full schedule across the busy holiday weekend, we reached a decision point to significantly reduce our flying to catch up.
What do these events have to do with cloud native infrastructure, you may ask yourself? Well, as it turns out, a lot. Let's put aside the circumstances of this epic meltdown of Southwest and try not to make fun of them, although that would be easy. After all, this show is all about having a laugh once in a while. So what is it that Southwest did about cloud native infrastructure? Well, nothing, and that's part of the problem here. You see, Southwest is using homegrown IT systems that are very dated. This organization was and is stuck in the past, where they thought they would be okay developing their own software themselves while ignoring literally everything that happened around them. Let's take a closer look at some of the underlying reasons for this epic meltdown. Now, there is a bit of conflicting viewpoint of this coming from the chief operating officer, Andrew Watterson, who said in an interview, "That's a leftover image from decades ago. I don't think it's true." End quote. Let's look at the factors that led to the problem. Reason number one is the network architecture, which relates nicely to our podcast topic. It is essentially a point-to-point architecture, while all other carriers are using a hub-and-spoke architecture. The difference between the two is, of course, resiliency and failure. Yes, a hub can fail due to weather as well, but flights can be redirected to alternative hubs, and in the point-to-point architecture, failures cascade down one by one until all the chips are on the floor. Reason number two is the outdated flight scheduling software. SWA uses SkySolver, a piece of commercial off-the-shelf software. SkySolver was overwhelmed by the scale of the task of sorting out which pilots and flight attendants could work which flights. Southwest executives said there was just not enough time in the day for them to work through the manual solutions. End quote. I love it when a COO makes the best possible case for automation. Reason number three, of course, is the weather, but that's nothing anyone can control. Reason number four is the current wave of COVID, flu, and RSV that is putting workers in beds in droves. If your staff is sick, they can't fly, load luggage, or serve you a drink. So how does all this lead to cloud-native infrastructure, and why would you care? Cloud Native makes some infrastructure decisions for you, so there is less that you can get fundamentally wrong. For example, there's no point-to-point architecture in Kubernetes. It is designed to be fault-resilient and manages a desired state versus a defined state. In Kubernetes, you describe what you want and the system scales to it. That would be one way of working around SWA failure, reason number one. Reason number two for failure was the outdated software that could not keep up with manual corrections. Cloud-native software is based on the principles of microservices architecture. Instead of a single monolithic application that needs to be upgraded in one go, microservices separate logical parts of the software from the rest. For example, SWA could develop a microservice for the flight personnel that would allow them to check in their locations and status independent of SkySolver. It could be as easy as printing QR codes for all locations that need to be tracked. When an employee checks in for work, that microservice would update a central repository that would know the whereabouts of all staff at any time on duty. And it would be able to quickly notify off-duty personnel in case of emergencies too. Because of their dependency on a single monolith, SWA wasn't able to update any part of it that didn't work. Reason number three was scale. Even airline pilots had to wait for hours on hold while calling the scheduling hotline. The system was overloaded with inbound calls and manual adjustments, and pilots were unable to move without company authorization. Over time, information aged out, and eventually, SWA didn't know anymore where their staff actually was. Cloud-native technology helps you by scaling services to demand instead of using a fixed set of resources. In summary, the Great SWA Meltdown of 22 is likely to serve as an example of both what to do and also what not to do in operations. This wasn't the first failure of SWA, by the way. Back in 2021, a series of flight cancellations cost the company $75 million. This episode will cost much more. SWA's share price declined 10% since December 21st, and Citigroup estimates that fourth quarter earnings for the airline could take a 3-5% hit. Now, how do we even start our journey in part two of this podcast? Yesterday, I came across a tweet from Keith Townsend, who runs a blog and podcast called The CTO Advisor. You can find it at thectoadvisor.com. I promise I will ultimately get off this hellside dumpster fire called Twitter, but hear me out here for a minute. You can, by the way, follow me on Mastodon as sseekman at infosec.exchange. Keith wrote, quote, "Modern app architecture is boiling down to two options. One, cloud native, think CNCF landscape. Two, public cloud control plane, AWS, GCP, Azure. There will be options that combine both approaches, but essentially fall into the second category due to practical lock-in." End quote. What I understand he says is that either you develop your apps using technology that's freely available, or maybe at some cost, as pure open source is not really a viable survival model for an organization paying people, or you put your money in utilizing public cloud. Personally, I would add IBM Cloud to the list as well, by the way. There's some really neat stuff there, and Watson's speech APIs are an example. I'm saying there is a way to marry both of them for organizations that don't like the lock-in and have the staff resources or desire to be independent. There are good reasons to use cloud providers and not having to deal with the bit of self-run infrastructure pain it's created. But if cost is important to you, if runaway cloud bills scare you, then you probably want to look at building cloud native locally first. I mentioned the term cloud native now a few times, but haven't really defined it. Let's use the Cloud Native Computing Foundation's definition. It describes it as an approach for application design on public, private, and hybrid clouds with containers, service meshes, microservices, immutable infrastructure, and declarative APIs, creating loosely coupled systems that are resilient, manageable, and observable. Now that's a mouthful, and for our introduction into this, we probably should take a look at a small portion of this to get started with the bare minimum, a computer or server with some minimal specs as our playground. Have you ever heard the expression, the cloud is someone else's computer? That's definitely what it is. You can actually create a private cloud on a single server through virtualization, enabling you to run multiple environments or systems on a single computer. You can find old servers on eBay for very little money. I built my home lab of 6 HP DL360s, G7 and G8 for under $2,000, and you can get a usable single server for about $300. Once you have the hardware for the server, we need to consider what Linux distribution to install to it. And we have also to think about networking, but in the beginning, a single network card will be enough. Call me biased, but I think Red Hat Linux distro is the one to install. Before you chide me for, but it costs money and I have children, I will tell you that there is a free version available for developers, people like you and me. Yes, you can get it for free for up to 16 nodes. Go to the Red Hat website and look for the link or check the show notes. At this point, we have arrived at the logical handoff to my YouTube channel, where you can check out the installation video and how I set up my lab. Hop on over to YouTube and find me as youtube.com/@cloudnativeinfrastructure. One word, of course. Thanks for listening. I appreciate your time, and check back in 2 weeks for another episode of Cloud Native Infrastructure. If you like this show, recommend it to a friend.